I'm just going to warn you right now. I could be a little cranky today, okay? I'm working on a few things here. I've launched a new morning show, it's airing on the mornings on my station. We're hoping to syndicate it across Canada. It can air anytime. But I'm working on that, getting the social media, getting the website, getting the podcast all squared away, etc., getting guests on. All this to say, I've been a little busy today. I haven't had my lunch yet, so I might be a little grouchy. I might be a little testy. Although I don't think we're going to get too contentious, because I never, ever want to really have that happen here. What I want to have, of course, here on It's Your Call. Welcome, by the way. I'm excited to see so many people log on so quickly when we launch. I want to sit down. I want to have a conversation with you. It's like we're back in high school, right? And we're just going to the cafeteria, and we're going to sit at the cool kids' table, and we're just going to talk about stuff and people. You know, those people. It'syourcall.ca is the website. ITS. There's no apostrophe. You can't have an apostrophe in a domain name. So it'syourcall.ca. 613-604-6464 is your number to call or text the show. And hey, I remembered today. I added the camera link. So if you go to itsyourcall.ca, and if you want to opine or join me on the show via video link, you can turn your camera off if you're not comfortable. It's fine as long as we can hear you. The video link is now there for you. All right. Good afternoon, Mike. Thank you for logging on Facebook. So yes, we are on Facebook.com. That's the BTR radio page. My personal page, Milkman Show, twitch.tv/BTR radio, YouTube, etc. Just go to answercall.ca. So much simpler there. Let's begin, shall we, by going to the mailbag. Hello, John. Political correctness has become the catchphrase for whiners who are searching for something to offend them. As we all know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Society has become void of reality and any common sense when discussing political correctness. Pardon me. I'm at the point where I just shake my head and I hear another silly complaint about someone being offended over something trivial. It reminds me that we have many more important issues for discussion. A comment on yesterday's show from Deborah. Thank you so much. Another Deborah just logged on. Hi, Debbie. Hello, Laurentian View Terry. Glad you enjoyed the morning show today. Yeah, my new show, Carrie and the Milkman. Carrie's out of Winnipeg. And we're going to bash it about it. We're going to take on the world. So if we're not on your radio station yet, conventional radio, we're pretty cheap right now. I would get in on this. All right, back to the mailbag. Hey, Milky, one word of thanks for keeping things going after the legend. Had to. I promised him I would. By the way, you're welcome for subscribing on Twitch. Ah, right on. So you're Ruby Roo. Thank you so much. Yes. By the way, if you've got Amazon Prime, here's an ask. Okay. You can help me out. I'm not asking you to pay and subscribe and whatever else for the show, but if you would not pay to subscribe, if you've got Amazon Prime, if you go to twitch.tv/BTR radio, you can actually choose our channel as your favorite Twitch channel. And if you've got Prime, Amazon sends us $5 on your behalf. Doesn't cost you anything above and beyond your existing Prime. So that's the ask right there. Otherwise, just share the snot out of this show. And many people are. Thank you so much. So I'll try your video one of these days when I'll be taking a break. I'd love to have you do that, Ruby Roo. Also, I'm trying to support you even more than Lowell, seeing you're trying to keep your head above the water. Well, we're all trying to keep our heads above the water. And you say you're a long-haul trucker. So, yeah, you're working your tail off, too, to try and make ends meet. Man, I feel you. Thank you so much. Mike's asking, how is Lowell? Did he respond to your request to come on the show once in a while? Mike, I haven't talked to Lowell. The last time he and I spoke was when he signed off the show. It was, when he called me, 40 minutes before that show aired. I said, Lowell, the door is always open. Give some thought to what you want to do. If you want to just do like a daily feature, etc. He said he'd think about it. I don't know. I don't know, Mike. I don't know. I'm going to let Lowell just relax and enjoy it. Lowell does I'm sure this is no surprise. Lowell does everything on Lowell terms. Okay. So when Lowell is ready, when Lowell's got that itch, he knows how to get a hold of me. Absolutely. Lowell is always welcome here. I love the man. And finally, hi, really enjoying your show, John. Keep on talking and I will keep on listening. Sad that Lowell retired. You sure are a good replacement. And I mean that in a positive way. Thank you very much. This is new territory for me, right? But hey, I got to be in the ring with, as you say, one of the best. This person goes on to say, I won't complain if you decide to extend your show to an hour. Well, I would love to do that. I would. Like I said, I got a few projects on the go. For those who don't know, so I'm now doing a daily. It's going to be airing 3 hours in the morning with a co-host out of Winnipeg. That also involves a podcast, video cast, etc. I do a daily midday show on a radio station in Sarasota, Florida. So I'm on there 5 days a week. I've got this going on. I'm producing the Nick and Joe show. I got a dog that needs walking and some surgery coming up. I'm a little busy, so I got to figure out kind of what this all looks like. But yeah, no, I'm absolutely open to doing an hour. And here's the deal on that. If I'm getting great feedback, yesterday we got two calls in the show. If we're getting great interaction like that and you're part of the conversation, then why not? Absolutely. I own the radio station. I'll talk 3 hours if we got something good going on. Unless, who's on today? Today's Thursday. Andre's not on till 4. So we got till 4 o'clock if we want. All right, let's get into it. Listen, we keep going back to this. It's unavoidable. But the convoy and the Emergency Measures Act. All right. As the inquiry continues on that, it is person after person after person. Ask us to pick some topics, says John. John, you go ahead. You pick topics. I am fine with that. Person after person after person taking the stand in this inquiry, telling their side of the story. At the end of the day, what we want to get to is, was putting the Emergency Measures Act in effect, and it's never been done in our history. The War Measures Act, of course, was put in place during the FLQ crisis. The Emergency Measures Act replaced that. So this is the first time in our history. What it does is it suspends. It takes away every right we have on our Charter of Rights and Freedoms for every Canadian, every single one of us. It is supposed to be enacted when the government feels that it is about to be toppled, that there is, you know, that there's a coup. It is a last second thing, and it affords them the right to take away. I mean, the whole thing was about freedom. It was the Freedom Convoy fighting for rights, 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 rights. And at the end of it all, we had none. None. I don't care where you are in Canada. Where you are you even aware? This is my first question to you. Were you even aware that your rights had been suspended? Were you aware that the police didn't need any justification if you're walking down the street to throw you in handcuffs and throw you in jail? I have a right to a lawyer. No, you don't. For the entire time that that act was in place, you did not have any of the rights that you believe, well, that you actually ordinarily do. They were gone. And yes, above and beyond that, of course, the government had the right to dig into your bank account. Oh, you donated to the convoy. Illegal. And they would flag that. And that seems to be kind of the focus that the media put on this, is that they went after a few people who donated $20 or $30 to the convoy. Isn't that terrible? No, 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 no. So that's my first question. Are you even aware that every right you have as a Canadian was gone when that Emergencies Act was in place? We've heard from city officials. We've heard from OPP, RCMP, CSIS. We've heard from MPs, MPPs. We've heard from people who were part of the protest. I admit I haven't watched every single bit of testimony, but I've seen enough to know that at no point have I seen anyone take that stand and say, yes, absolutely, this was needed. This was justified. We had no other choice. We were under attack. I have not seen or heard that. And if I've missed it, please link me to it. Milky, M-I-L-K-Y, at blastoftheradio.com. Look, at the end of the day, this thing wasn't justified. Now, a judge is going to determine, a liberal-appointed judge, just putting that out there, I would like to think that regardless of political affiliations, are people who are put in places like, you know, to be justices of the peace, judges, can put that aside and make a legal judgment for us. It's what we pay them to do. But not one person so far said it was justified. That's ultimately what we're going to find out. A judge will determine this. And yet, I don't know who Innovative Research is, but Polling Canada is someone I follow on Twitter. They post a lot of polls regarding all things politics. They asked this yesterday. Do you support or oppose the decision to invoke the Emergencies Act? Yeah. We know how accurate the polls are when it comes to elections and stuff. But somebody's asking the question. It's no different than if I were to ask it here, right? We'll end up with a number of people who say yes, no, etc. It's unofficial, but it's a guideline. Do you support or oppose the decision to invoke the Emergencies Act? Holy crap! 51% support. What? I mean, I read that, and the first thing that goes through my head, the only thing that goes through my head is clearly people just did not understand what they lost when the Emergency Measures Act was put in place. Because nothing bad really happened other than a few bank accounts being closed down, a few people charged for donating. Nothing bad really happened. It could have. Do you think that there's people walking around thinking, well, the Emergency Measures Act, that only affected people who were participating in the convoy in downtown Ottawa. That only affected people who were protesting at the bridge in Windsor. That only affected people who were protesting at the border in Alberta. Yeah, I was over here in, you know, insert your town name, you know, minding my own business. Didn't affect me. Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. You had no rights under our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which we don't have a constitution. We have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. You had none of those. 51% support the Emergency Measures Act being put in place? It's your call. I'd love to hear from you. 613-604-6464 or click the video link at itsyourcall.ca. Over to Donald. He says Justin should step down. He's a clown and putting Canada in the poorhouse because he wants things going his way. All right. You're not answering my question, but you'll get around to it. I know you will. Peter says the hearings of the convoy will show Trudeau went overboard. The freezing of people's bank accounts wasn't even freezing debit or Visa. It was a total freeze, such as RRSPs. I mean, can you imagine your bank account frozen? You can't pay your mortgage? Why? Well, because the government can. No, they can't. You know the argument. You know the conversation. You know how belligerent people become when they're asked to leave a Walmart. I have rights. No, you're on private property. You have none. But everybody thinks they're right. You ain't right when you have no rights. All right, James on Facebook. It's unbelievable how many people don't understand this and what else shady went on during that time. Craig was aware. All right, there's one. Thank you, Craig. Kathy says the inquiry should be based on facts and facts alone, not about people's feelings. Trudeau overstepped in implementing the Emergency Act. All right. Most people had no idea. We're getting some honest answers to the question. This is good. 51%, according to Innovative Research. We're like, that was cool. Chrissy says, I was not aware. Would have liked a warning or information beforehand. Chrissy, this is the thing. You did have warning. They said they were going to put this in place. They told us. All you had to do was Google Emergency Measures Act. People kept leading up to it. People kept saying, what are they going to do? Put the War Measures Act in place? We don't have the War Measures Act. But people hear this Emergency Measures Act. Oh, okay. All right. What does that mean? It means they're going to get rid of the convoy. Well, no. It means they're going to get rid of our rights. It is it is on the books in our laws as an absolute last minute thing to give the government access to whatever they need to fend off being overthrown. The Russians are coming. The Chinese are taking us over. They're going to kill our government leaders. They're going to take over and turn us into you know, a communist country. That's what that law is there for. No, bouncy castles and pig roasts. And yes, it's loud, it's stinky and aggressive and all of that. And if you live downtown, of course it was a pain in the ass. But your rights, and by the way, if you were living downtown and putting up with that, your rights were also taken away. You didn't, if you had to walk down the street to go to the grocery store, you could have been arrested. Why? Don't need a reason why. Because I can. You have no rights. You looked at me funny. Whatever. Joshua says, this government felt its agenda and beliefs were about to be toppled, but that doesn't count. No, it doesn't. Under the language of the law, this is not to be put in place because, well, our agenda, the things that people said that they wanted us to do in government, yeah, that's affecting this. No, that's not what that's for. All right, Debbie, I did not totally understand the Emergencies Act then, but I'm sure learning fast what kind of government we, the people, are dealing with, they need to be accountable for their terrible decisions. Okay, so that begs this question then. If it turns out that the judge says, yes, in fact, this was not legal, it overstepped our constitutional rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who pays the price for that? What should the price be? Does Justin go to jail? Does our entire government go to jail? Everyone who voted in favor of it? Do we throw them in jail? I know you'd like to in some cases, but that's not realistic. If you and I break the law, there are consequences. We can be sued. We can go to jail. Criminal record, blah, blah, blah. What happens here? I don't think I'm too clear on that. Someone's got to pay the price if indeed it's determined that there was no justification for this. All right, back to Facebook. Eric says, CSIS told government Freedom Convoy didn't pose a national security threat the day before the Emergencies Act was invoked. I mean, CSIS is our FBI. That is our intelligence service. Those are the most informed and aware people when it comes to national security. If they're saying, there's no threat here, why the Emergency Measures Act? Why were my rights taken away? Why were your rights taken away? Why was your bank account, you know, there to be frozen? 51% of Canadians seriously have no problem with this? I mean, how far up our collective asses are our heads if that's really a true reflection of our country? And maybe that's the question I should be asking. Do you think that's accurate? Is 51% accurate? That means that if you understand what happened and what rights were taken away from you, all of them, the person next to you has no clue. None. Someone in your house, your next door neighbor. Holy moly. Peter says they froze accounts with total compliance from the banks. Watch the testimony showing the details of freezing process. They should do as much to criminals as they did truckers and supporters with that much haste. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Thank you for that. All right, text 613-604-6464. Hi, John. I've been watching the EMA commission. It was disturbing to find out that Trudeau was going to use the act for COVID. What? I don't know if I knew, but I've definitely been educated since then. He was going to use the act for COVID? Missed that. It scared the shit out of me, says this person from the 306. That's Saskatchewan. Hey, right on, Saskatchewan. By the way, yes, I am an Easterner, and I do know that it's Saskatchewan, not Saskatchewan. You're welcome. I knew it was bad, but not the entire scope of it at the time, but the government did. That's Tommy. Yes, there's Tommy in Saskatchewan. Thank you so much, Tommy, for chiming in again. 613-604-6464. Feel free to click the video link as well if you want to join us that way. It's just another way to get into the show. It's basically my second line. You'll find that at itsyourcall.ca, itsyourcall.ca. If you ever miss an episode, by the way, you can find this on our YouTube channel, and I'm also still posting. It's still called the Lowell Green Podcast. I'm working on changing the name, but that's where you'll find me for now if you want to hear past episodes. To Twitch and Laurentian Vuteri, I really was not aware of the full extent of the act. Isn't that scary? And that's, I mean, if that 51% is accurate, Terry, then I have to assume that it's only accurate because people didn't know then and still don't know now exactly what was taken away from them. Again, I mean, we're paying no attention to anything going on around us, obviously. Lisa Marie, hello. A judge has to put political leanings aside, she says, or else he's bought. Blind sheep. Thank you for your comment. Nice to see you. I believe you are new to the show. Great to have new people on board. Thank you very much. Craig says, that's right, Debbie. If we had a fair and equitable mainstream media, we would all have known when the act was enacted, and we certainly would now. Okay. Interesting point, Craig. The city of Ottawa, where I happen to live, is a million people. It is one of the most saturated radio markets in the country. Now, it's a select few that own the radio stations. We have three TV stations in this city. Two are owned by one company. And I believe, I'm quite certain as a matter of fact, but I believe that they are the only company who is allowed to own and operate two TV stations in one market in this country. One of the licenses that they hold does no longer require them to do any sort of newscast. None whatsoever. Like I said earlier, I do a show in Sarasota, Florida every single day. It's similar in size to Ottawa. It's just south of Tampa Bay, really. Sarasota is to Tampa Bay what Carleton Place is to Ottawa. Okay? It's part of it, but it's not part of it. But it's right there. The amount of news stories that I get from the several TV stations, the countless newspapers, the online community in Sarasota, legitimate, is astounding. Why do we not have more mainstream media? And even if we did, are people really paying attention? Are they really paying attention? Have they tuned it out? Are they looking other places? We've got a phone call, 613-604-6464. Welcome to It's Your Call. May I ask your name?
This is Simon.
Hey, Simon, welcome back. What's on your mind today?
Thank you very much. So just to chime in on the current topic of the day, I'm just going to preface this by saying I was a full supporter of the truckers and what they were doing.
Sure. Okay.
But I do want to play a little bit of devil's advocate here to try to, you know, try to really get to the bottom of this Emergency Measures Act.
Love it.
Now,
go for it.
You have the OPP. Yeah, sure, sure. So you have the OPP, the CSIS, and the RCMP all saying that the emergency, the national security was not threatened. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say that Trudeau needed that he obviously felt that there was some great threat to national security. What other thing could he have done than call the Emergencies Act? Is there some kind of legal way he had so that, you know, instead of calling the Emergency Measures Act that affected all of Canada, mm-hmm. is there anything available that would have affected residents of Ottawa just calling, you know, a regional emergency?
Right. I'm not aware. So I cannot answer your question. I absolutely invite others who are much more knowledgeable than you and I combined on this, and you're a pretty smart guy, to let us know. I don't know. There has to have been, though. I mean, the first thing that pops into my mind, and keep in mind, of course, I think you know this by now, I tend to think very sarcastically, and I always try and find a punchline for things. But my first reaction...
That's why I listen to you. You have to be able to have a good laugh in any situation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there are serious things going on too, right? And this is kind of, you know, this show right here. Nope, I'm here. Hello. Hello, Simon. Hello, Simon. Nope, Simon's gone. But I will finish my comment. Simon, call back. I apologize. Yep, we lost Simon. My first instinct is, what could the Prime Minister have done? What else was available to him? He could have had a conversation with the people who came from across this country to the front lawn of our parliament with stickers and signs and horns and anger saying, we're not happy. We want you to fix this. He didn't have that conversation. So I don't know if there's anything on the books as far as laws are concerned, other options that he had. Again, if somebody is aware of that, please let us know. Absolutely let us know. I think Simon's back. Simon, you there now?
Hello. Yes, I am.
I don't know what happened there, Simon. So I'm answering your question. I don't know off the top of my head whether there were any other legal resources available. But my instant reaction, and I was just saying this on the air, you probably weren't listening because you were dialing back. He could have talked to the damn truckers, Simon. He could have had the conversation that they came to have with him.
100%. And I do agree with that. I'm just trying to explore, because it didn't happen, I understand. I was just trying to explore other options. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is one of the main points that I'm trying to get to, is that because Canada is such a large country, I mean, geographically, we don't have a whole lot of people, but geographically, one of the largest countries in the world.
Yeah, yeah, we get that.
Is there something wrong with our laws where we can't, you know, we can't implement some kind of emergency act that doesn't affect the entire country, that can only be applied regionally? Again, I don't agree with the implementation of the Emergency Measures Act, and nothing has come out of the hearing that shows that it was necessary.
Right.
Again, just trying to play devil's advocate here and throwing it out to all the smart listeners out there.
So my question to you then is, okay, so what was the law that Doug Ford utilized in order to clear the blockade at Windsor, Detroit?
If I remember correctly, he just declared some type of emergency. I don't remember the term.
Yeah. So, and that's what I'm getting to. This is still the province of Ontario. Surely there would be some sort of law in place similar to that that they perhaps could have put in place. I don't know. I mean, did they even try anything else?
If Ford could implement it for the bridge, there's no reason why he couldn't implement it for Ottawa.
Agreed. And my only hesitation there and my thinking was, okay, I mean, just by virtue of it being the parliamentary district, you know, would there be other players who would have control or a say over that? But I mean, hell, Simon, we're almost a year into, you know, since that Wellington Street was closed. February will be a year, right? And we still don't know whose call that is. Whose call is it ultimately to close Wellington Street in downtown Ottawa? Is that City Council? Is that the NCC? Is that the Government of Canada? Is that a provincial thing? I mean, as far as I know, you know, the parkways are, you know, patrolled by RCMP. That's why the speed signs are black with the white lettering instead of the white with the black lettering. That's kind of how you tell what's a federal jurisdiction and what's not. That doesn't exist on Wellington Street. Those are city signs as far as I can tell. So who's ultimately responsible for closing this thing? Let's ask them. What options were available to you to remove those trucks from that street that you have jurisdiction over?
For sure. And even when you look at the tow trucks that were available, you know, they tried to weaponize the tow trucks in the city, but the city of Ottawa had two tow trucks that were never used.
Simon, we set up our baseball stadium, etc., as a place for the truckers to park and hang out until they could, you know, find a spot downtown. We facilitated it. And yet I went there
myself and had a few parties down at that baseball stadium. It was a great time.
Oh, tell me you played in a bouncy castle. Please tell me you played in a bouncy castle.
It's a little too big for that, unfortunately.
Okay, well, then did you try the hot tub at least?
No, but I did play hockey on Wellington.
All right, good. Simon, I love hearing from you. You're an insightful person. And listen, play devil's advocate all the time. Bring new ideas to the show. I really appreciate this conversation. Hope you're well.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Cheers. Who the hell are they asking, says Satan's Playmate, in regards to getting 51% of Canadians saying, yeah, take away my rights. I'm cool with it. I don't know. They didn't ask me. So this, you know, falls on me to ask you. Peter says, you can get a poll done with the results you want when you're paying for it. Loaded questions, et cetera. Yeah, I would be interested to see what the exact question that's posed was. That's a fair comment. Thank you. Joshua says, they did not understand the act and supported taking something down that they disagreed with. Back to Lisa Marie. Until it happens in their own backyard and to their own family, people just don't care. Lisa, amen. You are so right. And it just, again, do people hear of this and still not know what the hell it is and what the hell actually happened and their rights were taken away? Had this been, you know, to the scale of the FLQ crisis, I think we would be in a much different situation. And back to the question, where do people get their information from now? What's reliable out there? There are too many unreliable, reliable sources. The mainstream media, and I've asked this question, by the way, so you know, the first business I ever started, I still maintain it today, is a website for the Canadian radio and TV industry. There is not a single person, I'm very proud of this, there is not a single person working in Canadian radio or television today who has not heard of me and who has not visited my site. Most of them, I would argue, are probably doing the job they're in because they saw that posting on my website. And I say that not to be braggadocious, but to say it gives me an opportunity to have conversations with the players that are our media. And I have asked this question. I have asked the question. People continue to crap on mainstream media. They crap on it. They tear it down. They say that it's not right. They say that it's paid off. What are you in the mainstream media? Because I don't really think I'm part of mainstream media anymore. I'm doing my own thing on the internet, and I love it. But where's the fight? Where's the pushback? How are they addressing this? I have asked that question to the very long foreheads, the suits that run this, and to the minions that are working in the business. You know how many responses I got on the two occasions I've asked that very question? What are you doing to fight back on this? What are you doing to reclaim your rightful place as the official opposition, which I believe the media actually is? No matter who is in power in the government, the media's role is to hold them to account, to represent you and I, to ask those questions. I got zero response. Not one person offered up any sort of, yeah, you know, here's what we're doing to fight this. Here's what we're doing when people say that we're bought and paid for. Here's what we're saying when people call us liars. Not a single response. That drives me bonkers. Fight. They're stealing your lunch here, guys. Throw a punch. Do something. I told you I was cranky today. Didn't get my lunch. Maybe I should do the show every single day without having my lunch. Renee's on Twitch. I was aware of the magnitude of this act. All right, thank you. Bill says the turd wants... Can we do away with the name-calling of the... I know, I get it. You don't like the guy. He's still the prime minister. I don't think we get anywhere when we go... Anyway, you know how I feel about that. Do what you will with that. Trudeau, I will paraphrase Bill's comment. Trudeau wants to do and achieve everything his father did, and no, there was no need for this, a complete overreach. Looking forward to seeing Trudeau and his ministers under grilling from the convoy lawyers, says Peter. Will they answer the questions, though, Peter? Because they sure as hell don't answer them in the House of Commons. Mr. Prime Minister, is your tie red? Well, I would like to remind the member across the hall that we sit in a chamber that is actually green and... it's every one of them. How ironic, says Eric, isn't it? Convoy fighting for freedoms, closed down by taking away the freedoms of all Canada. That pretty much summarizes it. And 51% of Canadians, according to this survey, are like, cool. Is there a game on? The number of people I see complaining, by the way, that the Grey Cup is only available on TSN this weekend. Well, I'm not paying for that. Why isn't it on CTV? Why is it not on free TV? More people are bent out of shape about this than they are about the fact that their constitutional rights were taken away. 51% are like, I'm fine with it. Craig, there are four types of emergencies that can be declared under the Emergencies Act. A public welfare emergency, a public order emergency, an international emergency, and a war emergency. Well, okay, so let's break those down, shall we? A public welfare emergency? Okay. The welfare of people who live in downtown Ottawa for three or four blocks, perhaps could be argued that their welfare was at stake. Perhaps. A public order emergency. Were they disobeying any laws, though? Really? We do have a right to protest. So long as the Emergency Measures Act isn't in effect. an international emergency? Yeah, the U.S. has argued that, you know, listen, this could affect economies, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but was it to that scale? An international crisis, really? And a war emergency. Well, we can discount that one. I was fully aware, says James, and do not support the act at all. All right, so James, you're in the minority. Someone who actually knows what's going on. Maggie, they also used it as a distraction to sneak bills through Parliament. Yeah, well, what else is new? Look, nobody's watching anyway. Why do they even try and hide it? When's the last time you sat down? I mean, okay, this audience is probably the exception to the rule, but by and large, when you look at your friends, your family, your neighbors, who's sitting down watching CPAC and really paying attention to what's being discussed and what bills are being passed? Ask the average person. Next time you're out at a pub and you're just talking to somebody at random, just say, so what do you think about, you know, Bill C-11? Don't tell them what it is. Just what are your feelings on C-11? They won't have a clue. Oh, you know, that thing that wants to, you know, give the government complete control over what's posted on the internet? Oh, but the CRTC chairs, you know, claiming, yeah. I know what the law and the lettering says. We're not really interested in that. Well, then put it in writing. Put it in writing. I know that's a whole separate topic. Kathy says Trudeau implemented the act against the advice from the RCMP and CSIS. They implemented it, apparently, against the better advice of absolutely everybody. Again, and I said this off the top, I have yet to see anybody, and show me if you've seen somebody in any position of authority who said, yes, this is the only option. This is the only thing we have left. We're about to lose our democracy if we don't do this. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha! Anne says, Liberal voters agree with anything Trudeau does. They don't seem to care about the implications of the Emergency Act. They just wanted the trucks gone and didn't care about their own rights being suspended as long as Trudeau beat up on the truckers. You should hear the ladies at my gym during that debacle. We had a few heated discussions. Oh, could you? No, you couldn't take a recorder in for that the next time, could you? Ah, back to Peter. Trudeau makes it sound like this was the first protest in Parliament Hill's history. Yeah. Nothing sticks to Teflon Trudeau. James says there better at least be a non-confidence vote. I guess the Conservative Party, the Bloc Québécois, etc., the other members, I suppose they can put that motion forward. It's not likely to carry, though, right? Because, yeah, there's Jagmeet. Mr. Prime Minister, I'm so angry you won't do this, I won't do that, but I'm going to prop you up anyway because I want that nice little package that comes along with me being, you know, in government for another number of days or whatever his reasons are. I think they could put the bill on the table. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But yeah, I would love to see Pierre Poilievre at least try it. Sure, absolutely. Provided, of course, the judge rules that this was unjustified. But again, what are the consequences? Who pays the price on this? Who gets their hand slapped? Who gets thrown in jail? Whose name is on the criminal record? If this was not justified, if it broke the laws of our country, and nobody is punished, then why do we have the law at all? There has to be some consequence attached to this. Does there not? And again, I invite you to that, to reply to that. And we are a little over time if I'm doing the half hour show, but you say you want an hour. We're close to that. We'll see how it goes. If the judge rules it was legal, it will set a precedent in the future. That scares the hell out of me, Renee. What if they are justified in this? What if it was? What next? Yikes. Richard, by the way, is big into drag racing, etc. His car won the championship this year with my radio station bumper sticker on there, by the way. Richard, thank you for doing that, and congratulations to you. Richard says, was it just me or did anyone else laugh at Trudeau getting a blast from China yesterday? I'll let others answer for themselves. I'm not laughing. I mean, it's... On one hand, we have a prime minister who a lot of people will say admires the Chinese You know, in fact, I think he said something to that effect once upon a time. I don't remember the quote. And now we've got the Chinese saying, hey, wait, that was a private conversation. And where we're from and the way we do things, we don't talk about private conversations. I don't know. What I do know is that there's a lot of conflict in the world right now, and I am all for sometimes poking the bear a little bit, shaking things up. I have a hard time believing that our prime minister would be the one to do that, the heavy hitter, but okay, we'll let you opine on that. We'll keep going, folks, as long as you're commenting. Murray says, we pay no matter how it goes, as we are paying for this whole process. Mike, Little Potatoes revenge on ordinary Canadians. Little Potatoes. I see. Okay. You mean the prime minister? Okay. I don't know why that bugs me. I grew up, I may not respect the person who holds the office, but I at least respect the office. And I just think we need to, look, I watched the whole Mike Pence thing last night. How freaking weird was that, by the way? He's a weird dude. Like, everything he says sounds like a rehearsed speech, even if it's coming off the cuff. But he's one of those people that he just, in the last moments, had such respect for that office. Interesting to see him on CNN, because that's really walking into enemy territory. Maggie says, it will slide off Justin's back, hidden like all his other dirty little secrets. We can't impeach him like they do in the USA. Nope, we can't. Peter says, what happens when the judge or commission comes to blame the government for overstepping? Nothing. Like all other things that Trudeau gets caught doing, tiny fine, and continues with business as usual. Chris, there's no repercussions for politicians. Therein lies the problem, and this sets a dangerous precedent. If it turns out he broke the law and nothing comes of it, what should happen? He should be removed as PM. He made the decision. He needs to pay the price. Should. Not gonna happen. There's nothing in place to dictate that it happens that way. Do we wait for the next government to perhaps enact some sort of legislation? I mean, these people can't even decide. Nobody wants to make a move on 24 Sussex. Nobody wants to be seen as the person who ultimately decided that the residence of the official prime minister and me as the prime minister, I condemn it. I want to do this. It shouldn't be, you know what, let's just take that decision away from the prime minister. Let's just make that the NCC's call. Period. End of discussion. All right. The judge is liberal, says Donald, so you know everything will be pushed under the rug and they will get away with it. Yes, no, I know the optics of that, Donald, and I said that earlier. My hope still is that someone who is a judge in our country will adhere to the laws that are on the books. That is their job, to interpret and understand our laws and to make a ruling and a decision based on the facts before me and how I interpret the law, I determine this. Doesn't matter if I'm liberal-leaning, conservative-leaning, etc., and call me a glass-half-full kind of guy. I am optimistic that our legal our people in courts, et cetera, will actually uphold the law. I'm losing my voice here. Back to Kathy. If I understand correctly, if in fact it is found that Trudeau overstepped, then he is to be removed as PM and an election can be called. I've not heard that. I don't believe that at all. I don't think that's true at all. And I stand to be corrected. Again, I'm dipping my toes in the waters of this politics thing. I'm learning as I'm going here. But no, I don't think that is true. I think a non-confidence vote, as was mentioned earlier, can certainly be brought before the House and voted on. And if the majority say that they've lost confidence in the prime minister, then his government is removed and we have an election. I believe that's the system in place, but I stand to be corrected. Thank you for your comment. Anne says, I'm so cynical about this whole inquiry. Firstly, totally liberal judges are only going to be siding with the government, etc. There we go again. Second, even if it comes out that the Emergency Act was not necessary, Trudeau will get a mere slap on the wrist. Tisk, tisk. You shouldn't have done that, you bad boy, with no real repercussions, political or anything else. You make me laugh. That is what I see happening. And then what was the point of this whole thing? All right. Mahadi says, John, Wellington Street is a disaster right now due to the protests. People are losing their jobs and businesses. Mahadi, I have not been downtown, save for a couple of trips to the NAC and a couple of quick trips to the Byward Market to see a friend. It's not the place it used to be. And I know, there's a lot of people hurting. I can't say that the closures on Wellington Street, and it's only a portion of Wellington Street, that they're to blame, but there's a lot of factors at work. Anyway, Mahadi, always good to hear from you, sir. What could have been done differently to clear the convoy? I don't know, Chris. That question was asked. Simon asked that question. I don't know what other measures could have been put in place. Start towing the trucks. Start putting barricades in place so that people couldn't bring gas in anymore. I don't know. Shut off some of the Wi-Fi and the cell towers down there so that people couldn't access the internet. Maybe start there. Piss them off. Aggravate them so that they leave on their own. I don't know. I don't even know what was tried. Maybe some of that was done. I have no idea. They also did a clean sweep of several posts on the internet, Twitter, Facebook, etc., says Satan's Playmate. Peter, there was rumors that they would lock people down but couldn't get the manpower, a.k.a. police, to do it during the heights of COVID. Yeah, the battles between our various police departments seem to have been not very good. And that's very concerning, isn't it? To YouTube, I believe this is the first comment from YouTube today. Tony says, Trudeau's prime motivation for looking for an excuse to enact the Emergency Measures Act was to be just like his dada. Craig says, 51% didn't know because they expect the mainstream media to inform them. We know they have no intention to do that. I don't know, Craig. Are people still watching the mainstream media or have they abandoned it completely? I don't know. So 51% of Canadians, according to this poll, say that, yeah, they were fine. They were fine with the Emergencies Measures Act being put in place. Had to happen. Fine. Take away all of my rights. My Charter of Rights and Freedoms, light it on fire. I'm fine. Tommy's back from Saskatchewan. He says, no way. No way you'd get 51% in Saskatchewan. Make room for me, buddy. Make me starting to sound like a very appealing place. You've also got a pretty kick-ass football team and a pretty cool football stadium, too. I could be happy there. Peter says people didn't, for the most part, know the details because the media didn't tell the viewers. Government spin only. Yeah, okay. What's left of the mainstream media? And are you sitting down and watching a 6 o'clock newscast, an 11 o'clock newscast? Are you, though? I mean, there's nothing left of the newspaper. The Ottawa Sun, the Ottawa Citizen, they don't even publish on Mondays anymore. And if you do actually pick up a physical newspaper, my dad still loves his newspaper, and I hear it from him all the time. It is so thin. There's nothing in there. It's cut and paste crap. Where are the journalists? Where are the people digging for the stories? Where are the people asking the hard questions? Apparently, it has been left to a guy who used to make his living doing poo-poo and fart jokes while playing the Backstreet Boys to ask these questions. Apparently, it's up to me now on It's Your Call here on BTR. Apparently. I don't really know if I'm asking the hard-hitting questions. I am asking questions, though, because you know what? I'm concerned. The older I get, the more concerns I have. And the more I've been made aware of things, the more enlightened I've become, the more upset I am. No! No, if you want to take away my Charter of Rights and Freedoms, you better have some damn good reasons. And if you don't have damn good reasons, I want to see heads roll. Absolutely. All right, Joshua, we as Canadians are used to being comfortable, and the convoy made some of us uncomfortable, and some just wanted their comfort back. Their own rights be damned. Greg says, John, as you grow, and networks such as yours, we have more opportunities for truth. Well, yeah, I agree. My fear, though, is, and this comes back to my comment about C-11. So if you've got a government now regulating what I can say on the internet, what I can play on the internet, what stops them from shutting, you know, opposing voices down? The internet, look, I understand the argument for creating an equal space for Canadian creators. But by virtue of the internet being the internet, are we not all on a level playing field, regardless of geography? I believe we are. My internet here in Canada does not give me any more or less advantage over someone who has the internet in the United States or in Uganda. or insert country here. It's what you do with it. The software is all the same. It's websites, it's Reddit, it's social media, etc. I don't think we need to be regulating the internet. Illegal things? Yes. Threats? Yes. Abuse? Yes. But the content that people choose to put out there and speak their voice? I'm sorry. People laid down their lives to ensure that I could speak my mind, that you could speak your mind, that we would have a charter of rights and freedoms that would protect those things. They took that away. Temporarily, but they took that away. And 51% say, yeah, that's fine. Oh my God. Where are we? What is happening? Like, if, and okay, I happen to be, some people say, a reliable source. I try and find the truth. I try and present all sides. This, as I say, is my attempt every single day at finding some kind of common ground. But the internet is the wild, wild west. Anybody can post anything. And by virtue of that, it means it can't be trusted. So what measures, what things need to be put in place in order to ensure, to validate? I mean, hell, you don't even have the blue check anymore on Twitter. It used to be that if you were Justin Trudeau, for example, or if you were Pierre Poilievre, the blue check meant we have verified. We have asked for ID. We have, you know, we've gone through every measure possible to verify that this is, in fact, the account of the person it claims to be. And now, no. Bye-bye blue check. For $8, you can have a blue check beside your name. Doesn't mean I'm the person I'm claiming to be. It means I paid $8. Like, how do we verify what the sources are these days? What system needs to be in place? If not a Bill C-11, how do we know? How does the average person looking for information go to a website? You know, and BitChute's a good example, okay? People make the argument all the time to me, BitChute doesn't, you know, censor, you know, what people upload. YouTube censors stuff all the time. Okay. Well, by virtue of the fact that things are not censored, that things are not looked into, things are not verified, it means that anyone can upload anything. Doesn't make it true. It may be. But if I don't have any checks in place to ensure that that content and that claim is true, I can't say that it is. Right? So at least YouTube in some way, shape, or form is saying, we call bullshit on this. We're not so sure this is true. We don't want this on our platform. Well, then I'm going to BitChute because I can post my lies there. Too many question marks. Back to Satan's Playmate. We no longer have a Real Local News. We lost Real Local programming when CJOH burnt down. They have killed the local papers. I don't think CJOH's burning down had much to do with it. I think they're just, you know, by virtue of... You know, in my opinion, and I say this as a broadcaster, where things changed, at least on the radio and TV front, was when they allowed multiple ownership. It used to be that no company could own more than one AM and one FM station in any given market. That was it. One company could own one AM and one FM and a TV station. Now you have four. Five radio stations under one umbrella, all with the same logo, all with the same name, all playing the same thing at the same time right across the country. Scroll through their apps. You'll see the logo's the same. The on-air performers are the same. And I don't begrudge that. I'm not trying to take that away. Hell, I make a living doing some of that. But that's where it is. It's not what it used to be. And then they are given a license for two stations. And yes, Bell Media, who I used to work for, I'm looking at you. You yelled and screamed and begged people to save local TV. You made the claim that local TV was dying and in danger. And I believe that, yeah, a lot of that is true. But then you went and begged to have this second license when you acquired CHRO. And you begged to not have to do any news content on there. I think that's wrong. And I know Bell Media and I can butt heads on that, respectfully. Bell Media and I have always, in any, you know what? One of the higher ups at Bell Media told me a long time ago, I understand that with your web business, you have a job to do. All I can ever ask is that you tell the truth. And I try to do that respectfully. Look, it's their business. They get to do that. But for me, as average person, citizen, looking at how our media outlets are licensed, I'm sorry. If you want to be on the public airwaves, you are saying, I have an idea, I have a concept, I have a will to serve the public. How is playing another Seinfeld episode serving the public? And sorry, Seinfeld, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I mean, how many stations do we need playing Big Bang Theory? How many stations do we need playing the same shows at the same time? Should there not be some sort of commitment to news? And should it not? Anyway, it all changed with multiple ownership. Listen to your radio stations now. You hear the same person doing traffic on a multitude of stations, the same person delivering your newscast on a multitude of stations. And I understand the efficiencies of it, and I understand how the technology applies that. But for you and I as consumers, and I'll take myself out of the equation, for you as consumers of media, that's not right. You deserve to hear, if you're going to tune in to four radio stations and a TV station, you deserve at least to hear four different news voices and the TV news person's voice. You deserve to hear varying opinions. You don't. You hear one person having recorded a newscast, uploading it to a server, and that same newscast is being broadcast on all platforms. I have a very difficult time with that. I understand the business argument for it. Believe me. But for the citizens of the country, that is a huge disservice. You are not possibly being informed. And that all happened when multiple ownership laws were changed, allowing companies to own two FMs and two AMs in the same market, and now two TV stations. It's too much, in my opinion. Respectfully. Bill says the CTV 6 o'clock news is only 6 minutes. After that, it's all so-called feel-good stories and entertainment. Yep. It's fluff. I love Patricia Bull. I do. I love Graham, and they're doing their jobs. But you're right. It's fluff. This new morning show that they've got on CNN now is pure fluff. I don't want fluff. I want to be informed. Please let me know what's going on around. Let me know that my charter of rights and freedom have been taken away from me. Let me know what that means. You have a responsibility for that. Let's go to Whitby. And Russ says, John, Cabinet must announce what and where when implementing the act. In this case, the area affected were the protesters in Ottawa or anywhere else in the country. The act did not impact anything outside of the protest. Does this make it right? You tell me. I don't think any of this is right at all. What I do know is right is this show. We are on the right path, and we have literally hundreds of comments that I haven't even had a chance to click on or address or discuss. And this is everything I could dream for this show to be. These conversations are important, and we're going to have these conversations every single day on BTR. And thank you for wanting to be part of it. Please tell your friends, invite them. I'm not going to hang up the phone at you. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream. I might show up cranky because I haven't had my lunch once in a while. But I really genuinely, honestly feel that these are important conversations that we need to have. And I'm not seeing them other places. It's your call. My never-ending search for some common ground in a world gone absolutely bonkers and crazy. Tomorrow, I'm going to make things a little lighter for you. I was asked by a number of people, could we talk about the CFL? And it is Grey Cup weekend. Oh, look at that. I've still got Simon's name on the screen. Simon hasn't been on the phone for an hour. Nobody told me that Simon's name's still there. Simon, we're going to make you a star. So tomorrow we're going to talk about Grey Cup. We're going to talk about the CFL. So get ready for that now. Listen, I'm very disappointed. I feel very let down and very abandoned by the CFL. And I say that as someone who has sat in those stands since I was a little kid, who idolized Tony Gabriel, who got to work for the Ottawa Roughriders for two seasons proudly, who has been a season ticket holder for the Renegades. I sat through the Gleibermans. I know Lonnie on a first-name basis. He knows I'm not his biggest fan. I have tried and tried and tried to get ideas to the CFL to no avail. We're going to talk about that as we lead into Grey Cup weekend. So that's tomorrow here on It's Your Call. We'll be back tomorrow.